Yep, you heard me. Your 401k, IRA, and your bank accounts. Sounds scary, but it's already happened in 8 countries in the last 7 years. Get the facts on what they can do by receiving the white paper titled The Coming Bail-In. See how all of this was set up to help manage our out-of-control debt. Learn how to protect your future and your hard-earned money by investing those funds into precious metals. So when the bail-in happens, you'll have peace of mind. Call Landmark Capital today at 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575. Or go online to landmarkgold.com.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
He may be the greatest pitcher in the history of baseball, Mariano Rivera. When you hear the stats, you'll understand exactly why I say that. Mariano, I want to congratulate you on this really extraordinary achievement. Thank you. And it's on behalf of this whole country, thank you very much for the great job.
That was the president earlier today. Medal of Freedom now proudly being worn around Mariano Rivera's neck, and Yankee fans everywhere already saying, duh. That guy threw the meanest cutter in the game of baseball, period. It made so many people look foolish with that cut fastball. And it's really nice to see a genuinely good guy get the recognition and the honor I think that he deserves. He's a great man of faith. Family man, loves his family, great guy, all the way. Just can't say anything bad about Mariano Rivera. Say bad things about other athletes, not that one. Anyway, hey, speaking of bad men saying good things, we weren't, but now I'm transitioning. Kanye West was in church yesterday. He was at a church in Atlanta. He got to sing part of a song with a 600-member choir. And then he stepped up and gave a 10-minute sermon. This is some of what Kanye West said to those in attendance. I've seen him work miracles in my life. You know, the devil presents so many flashy, shiny objects. I've seen everything that the devil could have showed you via TV, videos, car dealerships, jewelry, houses. I'll tell you. He says nothing beats God and a sound mind. He said, let's not be concerned with the opinions of men, only the opinion of God. I know we say that this is the culture or that is the culture. To be radically in service to Christ is the only culture that I want to now know about. He thanked God for the opportunity to be Atlanta. It's where his family met. Thank you for saving me, for replenishing me, for delivering me, West prayed. When I found out about you, I got closer to my children. I got closer to my family because the devil had me chasing a gold statue, had me chasing cars, had me chasing numbers. The power of God cannot be calculated by a number, a first week sale, a bank account, by how many cars you drive, by how big your house is, how many acres you got. It's God. It's God inside of our family. It's God inside of us. It's inside the friendship and that we hold each other accountable with. They may be coming at me like, why are you so judgmental, Kanye? It ain't for me to judge, but I'm going to tell them what I see. West said when the devil accuses him of speaking up too much, he says he's just pointing to the word. Not the Kanye West that we knew a few years ago, but I kind of like this Kanye. I hope he sticks around for a while, especially that radical obedience to Jesus part. World could use a little more of that. I'm Kevin McCullough. We'll see you next time.
The preceding was a paid program. Views and claims expressed are those of the program producer and are not endorsed by this station. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of radio station KMET, its management, employees, or affiliates.
Top Line Industrial Supply, your destination for industrial tools and supplies. We make hoses while you wait, hydraulic, air, water, and custom brake lines. Take advantage of our large selection of fasteners from grade 5 to grade F911 and a full line of stainless steel bolts. Our no-cost outside shop service keeps you stocked at no extra charge. Come by one of our two convenient locations in Beaumont and Temecula and visit top-lineindustrial.com. At Top Line Industrial, we don't just sell products, we sell solutions.
This is 1490 AM KMET, Banning, Beaumont, Redlands, and Palm Springs. News, talk, sports.
From ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. President Trump says the U.S. is ready to respond to a conflict like last weekend's attack on Saudi Arabian oil fields, and he's pretty sure who was behind
it. Certainly it would look to most like it was Iran.
But the president says he wants to be absolutely sure.
The United States is more prepared than any country in the history of in any history, if we have to go that way. As to whether or not we go that way, we'll see. We'll have to find out definitively who did it.
Meanwhile, the nation's top diplomat is working the phones.
U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has had several calls with U.S. allies and partners in the Middle East. According to the Iraqi Prime Minister's office, Pompeo is telling them U.S. information confirms Iraqi territory was not used in the drone attack on Saudi oil facilities. This weekend, Pompeo tweeted Iran is behind the attack, and three sources tell ABC News Pompeo was expected to provide proof of that in a meeting at the White House today between the president and senior administration officials. Iran denies any involvement. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, Washington.
The attacks caused crude prices to spike, rising more than 11% here in the U.S., and for stocks to fall, the Dow gave up 143 points. Day one on the picket lines for UAW workers on strike at GM plants nationwide.
Dozens of union workers stand outside of the GM plant in Bowling Green, Kentucky, holding up signs and chanting. They're demanding better pay, more protections, and improved health care coverage. Jack Bowers is the UAW local chapter president.
Strike is not good for anybody at all. Not us, not the community, the whole ball of wax. It's all bad. So I want to get back to work, but I want to get back to work fairly. I want my brothers and sisters treated right. We want fair and equitable wages. And get back to work. Let's do what we do.
A top UAW official saying if GM had made its latest offer earlier, the union may not have gone on strike. Ryan Burrow, ABC News.
The last strike in 2007 lasted for 2 days. You're listening to ABC News.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. We'll also have a dolphin chatter excitedly in front of the perfect candidate. Okay, there's no dolphin. But skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
Following New York's and Michigan's steps to ban e-cigarettes comes word that another state is taking action.
Here in California, Governor Gavin Newsom says he's signing executive orders to increase enforcement of vaping laws. Warning signage may be beefed up. A large advertising campaign will be launched to battle vaping, and efforts will get underway to add more taxes to vaping pods. The governor saying in California, banning e-cigarettes will take legislative action, that he can't do it alone, but that he would like to see that happen.
ABC's Alex Stone in Los Angeles. Lawyers for the two San Francisco teenagers jailed in Italy in connection with the murder of an Italian police officer are no longer pushing for their release.
The lawyers of Bay Area teenager Gabriel Natale Horth have dropped a request for the 18-year-old to be released from jail here in Rome. Natale Horth and friend Finnegan Lee Elder of San Francisco are in jail as police investigate their role in the July fatal stabbing death of Italian officer Mario Cerciello Rega. Natale Horth's lawyer decided to drop his request after new evidence about the stabbing emerged. Prosecutors say Elder stabbed Cerciello Rega while Natale Horth scuffled with the officer's partner during an alleged drug deal gone bad. Megan Williams, ABC News, Rome.
The worst measles outbreak in nearly 30 years is showing signs that it may finally be easing. Federal health officials say there were no new cases last week. This is ABC News.
Cyber attack, data breach, malware, botnets. Think your business is immune? It's not. Malware is alive and well on most corporate networks. So you need active malware detection. You need CDW. CDW has a complimentary service called Threat Check. It passively monitors your network to detect malicious traffic and other risks. CDW's security experts will then analyze and explain the results and provide security recommendations. Learn more at cdw.com/threatcheck. CDW, people who get it.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
From the KMET Weather Center for Beaumont and the Pass area for today, there is a slight chance of a shower or a thunderstorm, mostly sunny and 87. Partly cloudy tonight with a low down to 62, and for tomorrow, sunny with a high of 84. For the Inland Empire, there is a slight chance of a shower or a thunderstorm, mostly sunny and 89. And for the desert cities, sunny with a high of 101. I'm Jeff Davis for Smart Talk 1490 KMET.
Southern California PGA takes time to welcome home our troops. They've served us with courage, dedication, and honor. These same qualities are what America needs in its workforce. Hiring vets is a win-win for all involved. Our businesses get the great employees they deserve, and our veterans get the jobs they deserve. Let's give our vets a piece of the American dream they fought for. This message is from Southern California PGA. We live in the land of the free, thanks to the brave.
The Inner Voice Show is a dialogue between the host and the listeners about their relationships. This show is not an attempt to assess, diagnose, or treat any mental health or illness condition. Please consult your physician, psychiatrist, or psychotherapist for personal matters.
Inner Voice. A heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zane, and I have Sean in studio. This is a show about what matters most in life, our minds, our thoughts, feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. So in this show, I'll bring you the latest research about kids who face trauma can actually be saved toward long-term health through good deeds and caring of extended family, good neighbors, or teachers. That's good news. Then I'll speak to Elena Chapman, who's a soul nurturer, and we'll find out what that is, a founder of soulmanifesto.com and the author of her book, Hello Soul. So that's exciting to speak with her. And then we will speak with Jasper Cole. He's an actor and a radio TV host of One on One with Jasper Cole. You can call us on the studio line, 951-922-3532, if you'd like to speak to me or Elena or Jasper. And listen to my podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And share it with your friends. Send me your emails. Go out to my website, fujian.com. Tell me, give me feedback and tell me what are the all the topics that you want to hear about. And we'll be right back with the tip of the week.
Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com.
So this week, I have been dealing with getting attacked verbally and have worked with clients who have been verbally attacked, abused, demeaned, and insulted. So this really throws you off, doesn't it? It does me. It really throws me off center for a while. Some people get angry and attack back in a worse manner. Some people get angry but won't attack. They actually vent off to a friend or a mate with an angry tone and attack the people who are close to them and then save for them. Some people get scared and feel like a victim and then hide or quit. Some just don't take it personally and think that the attacker was wrong and don't want to deal with it. Some take their anger and make it a community matter or take legal actions. What do you do when you're attacked by someone verbally? Have you noticed that? Or does it depend on whether it's someone who is close to you or it's a stranger? Like, do you allow more attack from a, you know, someone who you know or you're in relationship versus someone who's a stranger? What do you do? How do you react when someone attacks you? The other side of it, let's look at the other side and say people may attack because they're in pain and don't know how to express their pain. Some may be afraid but turn their fear into rage and attack. Some just attack because they have gained control or got what they wanted from that type of a behavior, like bullies. There are multiple reasons. If you have ever attacked or lashed out your anger at someone verbally, what were your reasons? I'm sure you've done that. What do you consider then that has made you try to attack anyone? If you're attacked verbally, remove yourself from the attacker by setting boundaries or just plain leaving the space. Take care of your own emotions. First, give yourself the right to be hurt, upset, fearful, anxious, sad, shamed, and kind of so on. Now look at how you contributed to the situation at hand and take full responsibility and accountability for your contribution to the result. If you were attacked, what did you do? I'm not saying you're to blame. I'm just saying, what was your part in it? Maybe your part was just being in the vicinity. I don't know, but check out. Was it your tone? Was it the way you're standing? Was it something you've done before? Was it just that you were a bystander and you got attacked? So take accountability for that. Try to put yourself into the other person's shoes for a minute and see the world from their view. See if you can feel the vulnerable feelings underneath their anger. Sometimes that is so hard when you're getting attacked to actually see their feeling and their vulnerabilities. But that would really helps because we can hold empathy and we don't do anything to escalate it at least. Connect to that feeling and have empathy for them. If you get a chance to communicate with them, first share your empathy and let them know that you feel for them for being so upset. Like, I'm sorry that you're angry. I'm sorry that you're in pain. I can see it in your body that you must be going through a lot to really be in this much rage. And then address the fact of what was hurt, what has hurt or upset them. And for example, if you were part of that, just say, you know, I get it that that's what you perceived, or you thought that I said this, or this is what you got upset about. And take responsibility for your share and apologize for what you have contributed, such as, I'm so sorry if I did this and it upset you. I'm so sorry that I said that and it really upset you. Ask what their needs are. And recommit to reconnection and correction of whatever it was. So after asking them what it is that they need, you can always say, you know, I got it, that this time I didn't know. However, I'll definitely remember it. And next time I will do that for you. I'm committed to being your friend. I'm committed to creating the best that I can in our relationship. And then that's what I'm going to do for the next time. If you could not see in any way that you had done anything wrong, ask them about their need and see if you can provide it for them anyway. So it would be something like, well, you know, I want something from you and you didn't give it to me. And you're like, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And, you know, what it is that you need that I can provide for you? Or I really don't know how I was a part of this. I didn't do anything that I would assume that it was contributed to your anger. But regardless, I'm here for you. And is there anything I can do for you? Request for them to communicate with you in a softer way, so that you can support them with their needs. Because if they actually say it in a softer way, maybe your ears will be open, maybe your guards will be down, and then maybe you could hold them and do something for them. So communicate your boundaries, communicate your love and care, and take care of yourself and set boundaries and remove yourself. If it's someone you don't know and they're just attacking you, your best bet is just to remove yourself. Take care of yourself and maybe even after someone who's actually being angry in front of you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with the latest research.
Mm-hmm.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
I'm back with the research. A new research done in Brigham Young University and published recently in the Journal of Child Abuse and Neglect shows just how important positive childhood experiences are for a long-term health, especially for those who experience significant adversity as a child. Studies over the past 20 years have found the correlation between the number of adverse childhood events, such as death or divorce, and worst health outcomes later in life. A new study discovered that positive childhood experiences like having good neighbors, regular meals, or a caregiver you feel safe with have the potential to negate harmful health effects caused by adverse childhood experience. If your child has experienced trauma and you're worried about the long-term impact it could have on them, these findings show that the positive experiences in childhood leads to better adult physical and mental health, no matter what they have faced. Specifically, the study found that even when an individual had four or more adverse childhood experiences, having a high number of advantages childhood experiences lessened the negative effect of the adult health. Study participants reported the number of traumas they had experienced in childhood, including abuse, abandonment, having family members in jail, alcoholism, mental illness, addiction, divorce, or death. And the full positive experience list included having good friends and neighbors, beliefs that provide comfort, liking school teachers, teachers who care, having a caregiver who they felt safe with, opportunities to have fun, feeling comfortable with yourself, and predictable home routine like regular meals and bedtime. While many of the adverse childhood experiences in this study are affected by a child's family situation, other adults in a child's life that are not the parent, like extended family, teachers, neighbors, friends, and youth leaders, all help to increase the number of positive experiences and boost lifelong health, increasing positive and nurturing experiences in the home. It's just the easiest place to start. That is really good news, because sometimes with some of the studies and some of the people that I've worked, sometimes it really feels like there is no reverse and there's no way of, if they've really put so much trauma in their life and they've really experienced it, it takes a long time for them to recover. However, if we are we know that, and we know that we can help. If there's somebody in our family, in our neighborhood that we know that they're going through some abuse or the hard times, if we know that the positive experiences we can create for them will mend their trauma, will at least release some of those, why not? Why not do that for them? Now you know. All right. I'm excited. We're going to be back with Elena Chapman, a soul nurturer, a founder of soulmanifesto.com, and the author of Hello Soul. She's on a quest to help people everywhere connect to their soul's purpose and experience abundance while on this journey. She works with clients around the world to help them identify what they're really here to achieve in life, and from a space of compassion, non-judgment, and love. So we'll don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the Life Reset button. Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it. Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Welcome back again, Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain, and I'm so excited to be with Elena Chapman. Welcome to the show, Elena.
Oh, thank you so much. I am so enjoying this, and thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. So, you soul nurturer, that is so sweet. Tell me what that is.
A soul nurturer is someone who understands the language of the soul, and I help you to tap in to the soul. So when you're driving down the road and you say, "Are you there?" You hear back, "Of course, Elena, I'm here." You are in contact with the soul. And you grow, you have more ease. The stress, you don't stress. You just don't stress. And you have more flow in your life. And you have synchronicities that happen all the time. And you have the abundance flowing in all sorts of ways.
Okay, you're talking about heaven on earth, right?
Yes.
Good. I like that.
Heaven on earth. I love it.
Our heaven on earth. So I want you to distinguish these two voices from inside, because I think that there's a voice that a lot of times shows up as our brain is busy. And sometimes that voice punishes us. Sometimes that voice tells us, you know, that we're not good enough. So there's a lot of negativity also that shows up from the voice. And it's a very distinct concept between the voice that you say that there's an inner knowing that shows up and tells you that this is okay, and this is me, and this is, you know, that I'm connected to the heaven on earth. So talk about the distinction between these two as you connect someone to that voice.
Okay, it's big. When you're talking about that critical mind, which I call it, the voice that's always attacking, judgment, and defending, okay? And it has all the old beliefs of what you should not, can't, and won't be. All right. And it lets you know constantly. And it's loud. Like when you're going for something new and you hear, "What are you doing? You can't do that." Very loud. It's ringing in your ears and you just have to stop everything. Now, the soul, the inner knowing, that inner divine of you, your true self, is soft. It's always positive. It never has anything harsh to say because it's you. It's the true you. And it has this intuition and it has this perception. And what you have is this, it's just soft. It's reassuring. It always offers a solution, not a problem. And you have to quiet that critical mind. You have to learn how to quiet it, even for a little bit, to be able to hear the very soft voice of you.
And the soft voice is very nurturing as I hear you talk about it. So not only it's positive, but it's always taking care of you in a way to nurture you, versus the critical mind is sometimes is mostly holding you back and punishing you somewhere.
Yes. And do have intuition, which is part of a gift of the soul. It's one of the six gifts. And so intuition, if you walk into a room and it's actually not good, or there's an energy, it'll say, okay, I need to be a little more aware here. It won't say, oh my gosh, you're under attack. Do you see the difference?
Definitely.
One will say, take the steps, but be cautious. The other will say, attack.
And how do you go from the one which is telling you be cautious to the one that is, you know, nurturing you?
Oh, this is great. I have a series where I help you train the mind. And there's some that are short. I once helped a salesman actually do what he was supposed to do with his company, which he had been avoiding for 5 years, just with this exercise. But I always have people start training the mind. And if you like, I can give an exercise.
Please. I love exercises.
Oh, good. I love exercises too. You know, I always say, get a sacred space in your house or outside in nature, whatever you prefer. But if you're in the house, make sure you decorate it the way you like. Like, I love candles, I love pillows, I love me space. And because I travel, I have an Afghan that I always bring, and I lay it across my bed, and I establish a sacred space that way. Now, this is for training the mind on top of also creating your own growing, okay? So you stand outside your sacred space, and you put your finger out. I'm putting my finger out, and I go in a circle around the sacred space. And I like to say, and sometimes I make it up because I don't always know where north is when I'm traveling, I say north, east, south, west, and north. And I see myself putting a really beautiful white light around it. Okay? I'm out on the outside of that white light. Now, this is what I do. I say, all worry, doubt, or fear shall not enter here. And I take my hand and I see myself swooshing away that negative energy. And then I step into the space. Now, I already know what I'm going to do, because you have to fill that void or those thoughts will come crashing back. So you step in, you meditate, you listen to music, you listen to a video, you do writing, you do whatever it is that you want to do in that space. But if you haven't, worry, doubt, or fear starts creeping in, then you step back out and say, I said, no worry or doubt or fear shall enter here, and swish it away again and walk in. You're actually training yourself to let go of the worry, doubt, and fear for a specific amount of time. And it could be just 3 minutes, but that's 3 minutes of a free mind. Then it gets to four, then it gets to five, you know? And before you know it, you're at 30 minutes, an hour. Then you can make that sacred space your car. You can make it your workplace. You can transfer this, and every time you step into that space, you feel freedom.
And then when you say that out, and then you sit in that space, and you allow yourself to calm down, and then listen to yourself, that's where you connect with your soul voice.
You feel, you feed that beautiful, you spark it by starting to honor yourself in your space. You do the meditation, you do the listening and growing of things that feed your soul. You listen to music that delights you. You can dance if you want. You do things that give you your freedom, and before you know it, that soul will start to emerge, especially when you go into meditation and you just listen for the softness. Sometimes you'll see colors, sometimes you'll see pastures or whatever, and sometimes you hear. But that is your soul talking to you, yes. And it's the beginning.
You've created this beautiful community of Soul Manifesto. And everyone who's listening, you can go to soulmanifesto.com. What is it that you have within this community? What is it that you see people are really looking to get away, or whether they're looking to manifest?
Okay. People in Soul Manifesto, most of them are saying, I want more out of life. I've done stuff, but I want more. There has to be more than this mundaneness. And then others are there because they're doing the journey. They have their soul passion, but they want ease and flow. They want to learn how to flow with it instead of always fighting it. And then there are others who just want to know what their soul passion is. So usually those three groups. And in Soul Manifesto, we offer a community so that people can talk to each other. They do on the Facebook. It is on Soul Manifesto. SoulManifesto.com is the website. You can learn all about that. And then Soul Manifesto itself is on Facebook. Now, and then I offer, like tonight, I'm offering a free workshop. And that's all about how to start honoring yourself. And what does that really mean? It's a term that we throw around all the time, but what does it really mean? So we'll be exploring that tonight. And every week on Monday nights at 7, it's a free workshop I'm offering.
7 o'clock, which time frame?
You have to register for it. It's on Facebook, and then it's we'll send you a Zoom link, and we all get on Zoom. And then we have
7 p.m. Eastern time?
Yes, 7 p.m. Eastern. Yes, okay. Sorry. Yes, I forget. Yeah. And then, of course, you know that we have the Inevitable You in New York on November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. That is a full-fledged weekend workshop of transformation. And I don't throw that word around lightly. People will start tapping in because it's going to be a very hands-on, beautiful event that you are going to start experiencing what it is to start tapping into that creative spirit inside, which is your divine self. You know, the soul is three things. It is always wanting greater expansion and growth. It is always wanting to create. That's the one we're going to tap into, that creating, that creator you are inside. And of course, it is always love. So you lead with more love in your life than anything else. And that's what causes the synchronicities. But we're going to be tapping into that. And we're doing this. I have Elizabeth Gilbert coming because to me, she has been a lifelong student. I loved her TED Talk on the creative spirit. It's slightly different than mine, but that's also why, on top of a soul nurturer, I've been called a soul curator, because I believe that there are different ways to get at the same thing. And so I bring you the people I know can offer you something of value so that you can grab hold and start to practice. And that's what we're going to do that weekend. You're not going to just sit there and listen to me. You're going to be working and practicing with us alongside you.
So Elizabeth Gilbert is a New York Times bestseller author of Eat, Pray, Love. And I'm sure I didn't read the book, but I definitely saw the movie and I loved it. And The City of Girls. And yes, I love that, the movie, and I'm sure if I read the book, I would have loved it. And Elena Chapman will be, conducting the workshop Inevitable You. It's a discover your purpose, manifest your dreams and life, fulfill your highest mission. It's going to be November 1st to the 3rd, 2019. And then they can also sign up for it through, soulmanifesto.com.
If you go to soulmanifesto.com and then just click, you know, in that little bar, experiences, There it is. And you can look it up and read through the information and come. Yeah, we'd love to have you.
Oh, you have different guests. So not only you have Elizabeth Gilbert, but you also have Matt Taylor, The Art of Notebook Making, and then Tara Lefevre, Unlocking Your Karmic Code. Cool.
Yes. Isn't that cool? And we have... Yeah. We have Marielle Alvarez, and Candace. I have a panel of people talking about how to feed your soul. I have workshops. It's all for you to start to play and to start to bring back that creativity inside you. And it's going to happen. We're going to spark it. And it's just going to be that spirit that starts to emerge first. And then from there, we can start diminishing the terrible thoughts so you can hear your soul. That's how it works. Yes.
The simple question. Why?
Is anything ever really simple?
Simple question.
Yeah.
why do you think there is a need for us to connect with the soul? Because in one level, when is it that we kind of got disconnected? And then that type of a disconnection holds us back. I'm answering my own question, by the way. But it's more like, you know, there's a place that we are born with us as a unified soul, and then we get disconnected. And then we move forward with these types of disconnection. We kind of create a life through this type of disconnection. But it seems like we're not satisfied. And through not being satisfied, we keep going more and more toward it. Right? And then it's some place that it, you know, it keeps gnawing at us.
It gnaws at us like crazy. See, when we're born, I mean, if we can remember, you know, we were creators. We did not worry about, we believed in ourselves. We used our imagination. We didn't have any limitations. We were free to invent, imagine, and we saw ourselves doing it and we did it.
And we played.
Oh yeah. When I was six, I was a veterinarian. I mean, we took in animals. We didn't think we had to get a degree for that. You know, that wasn't even there. Nobody stopped us. This is what it was like. We didn't have fear. And then systematically, you know, through culture, through parents and friends and school, we start to go into what I call the school of I can't, I shouldn't, and I won't. And this was a way that we started entering a system that has preceded us and is taught, and it really is a system of limitation. And we learned limitation. And I see it with my kids as they're going through school. And critical thought, which puts you even more limited. It's great to analyze, but critical thought is praised. And they use it for everything. And before you know it, every opportunity is critically analyzed as wrong. I watch it. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? And so this is what is praised in our society right now. And it's conformity. Mm-hmm. So what happens is we get out there. We get the job we're supposed to have. We form the family we're supposed to have. We do the 9 to 5. We go through all the degrees. And we end up with a life, and then we're saying, okay, happy ever after, what happens? Where is this all there is? Am I supposed to pick up a hobby or something? And what am I supposed to do? And this is where people are at. And the jobs get boring after a while.
Yeah, we become also our roles.
Yeah.
We become our roles, and then at one point we ask ourselves of who am I really? Am I some of these roles, or am I... Is it there's a me that is inside that is beyond this role that I've created as a therapist, as a mother, as a wife, as a, you know, a so-and-so worker and all of that.
And we are not those roles, you know, that our soul just kind of hides. It's still in there, you know, but we're ruled. I mean, even science, and you probably know this as a psychotherapist, says, what, 95% we think from the critical mind? Do you know what that means? That the subconscious mind, which has all the old beliefs and all the conformity and everything we learned, and sometimes it's other people's experiences that we're actually living out. And when we do that, we don't stand a chance to hear our soul.
Absolutely. You got 1 minute to say to the world whatever it is that your soul wants the world to hear. Tell me.
Why you're here. You didn't sit up on a cloud waiting to come down saying, I can't wait to conform and be a role. I can't wait to do everything I'm supposed to do. You know, you came down and said, I want to experience. I want to create. I want to touch. I want to see contrast. I want to see what I can do. That's what you said. You wanted to play. And that's what we're not taught to do anymore.
Right. So let's play. Everyone, go to soulmanifesto.com and sign up for Inevitable You. Discover your purpose. Discover who you are. Manifest your dreams and life. Fulfill your highest mission. November 1 to 3, the 1st to the 3rd, 2019 in New York. and connect with Elena Chapman at soulmanifesto.com. Thank you so much, Elena, for being on my show. Thank you for being here really quickly. I know that I just called you 2 days ago to be here, so I honor you for that. Take good care of yourself and don't go anywhere, everyone. We're going to be back. Of course. We're going to be back with Jasper Cole, awarded Best Screen Villain by the International Nollywood Film.
Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain, and I am excited to have Jasper Cole. He was awarded Best Screen Villain by the International Nollywood Film Festival in 2019. As a veteran character actor with over 100 TV and film credits, Jasper continues his villain concept of streak. A villainous streak, having co-starred in the box office smash hit film The Purge: Anarchy as a Homeless Man. And we're going to actually talk about what his view of homelessness is, since he played one. And he will soon be seen in the lead role of Bad Cop in the horror thriller Savage Sister, and as a dark butler in the horror film Spirits. He appears as Jacques Delon in the new CBS drama Training Day, and watch for him in 2019 as Gubler in the new series Palomino and Swissy. And he's also appearing as Crackhead Fred in the new ABC series The Rookie. Jasper is also the host of a nationally syndicated radio and TV show, One on One with Jasper Cole. Welcome to my show, Jasper.
Wow, thank you so much. That was quite an introduction. I don't know who that... I'm listening going, who is that?
Listen, Jasper, you have about 3 or 4 pages of everything that you have done. I just figured I should a little bit of it.
Well, so it means I'm old. It means I'm old and I've been around a long time, but I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Hey, being old and being around a long time means you are wise and you have a lot to offer all of us.
Oh, thank you. Well, it beats the alternative, I guess.
Yeah. So tell us a couple of things. The one is, Jasper, when I look at the essence of what, especially in Los Angeles area, and now I'm also in Orange County, and and everywhere I go, I see... homeless, whether they're young or they're old. Some are unfortunately mentally ill. Some are addicted. Some are just there because something happened in their life and they couldn't work. Some are actually there that they're working, but they can't afford it. I've talked to students who are going to colleges and are homeless at this point just because they can't afford the high level of, the cost. And I know that because you needed to do a lot of research for your role, that you must have also come to a lot of, across a lot of people who are homeless. Tell us a little bit about what your experience have been and playing that role.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's interesting because there's always that sort of stereotypical Hollywood version of the homeless guy, which I've been blessed to play many, many times. And, you know, it's usually the same image of the long hair and the beard and kind of, talking to himself and that kind of stereotype. But sadly, what's happened, as you just said, you know, in Los Angeles alone, the statistics vary, but it's anywhere between 50 to 70,000 homeless people in all of L.A. County, which I think would include down to closer to Orange County. But just L.A. Skid Row downtown is like a literally a city amongst itself. And like you said, too, what I started to realize is not only do we have, obviously, you know, the mentally ill, people that should be on medications that aren't, drug addiction, that kind of thing, but you're seeing single mothers and their children, actually full families and their kids, a mother, father, and kids that, you know, have lost their apartments or their houses, and due to economic situations and the high cost of living in Los Angeles and the surrounding areas, they have no other choice but to be on the street. And then, more recently, which is fascinating to me, is like you mentioned also, the, I would say, the younger generation of kids that are choosing, I mean, they're living either in their cars, in vans, you know, because they do have jobs, but they're entry-level positions and they don't make enough to pay rent and have a car and live in L.A. and, you know, the utilities and all that. I'm going to be doing an episode coming up on my show, One-on-One with Jasper Cole, where I actually interview four different people, two men and two women, and they all have, you know, chosen to make the best of the situation. And they live, one in a van, one in a car, one in sort of a bus, and one in a tent. A very expensive, high-end, you know, probably the highest-end tent you can buy. And there's a whole new world out there of, like, apps that tell people where they can park their cars in L.A. and where you can sleep overnight. And, you know, the key is you get a gym membership, and then you park near the gym so you can have the facilities. And, I mean, it's mind-blowing, but at the same time, it's fascinating that the younger generation is becoming so resourceful. They're kind of turning it around and making lemon.
As a lifestyle concept.
Yeah, they're kind of making lemonade out of lemons, you know. In my day, it was like you took on four or five roommates in an apartment or shared housing, and it's like they've decided to do it this way. So to your point, yes, the face of homelessness is changing and has changed, and it's really become my platform. And but beyond that, there's such a governmental bureaucratic process that happens with funding, and like with anything, obviously with government, you know, there's good and bad. But in the city of LA, it's about who gets the funds and who allocates them, and you know, it's very involved, and it's so layered and multi-layered that once I kind of got into this, my head was spinning about the solution or solutions seem to be so far-reaching at this point.
Yes. I know that there are environments there are cities that are trying to bring spaces where they can have tents that is just for them and bring some maybe toilets or showers mm-hmm. there, where it can be like a camp area. And I know mm-hmm. there was always this conversation of, isn't that wrong where they should be in a camp area where they could be so separated versus being among everyone and they should be housed among everyone? And then the other side of it is that, yes, the camp area it's another way is pretty good because they have some facilities there that they could have, you know, showers and toilets and hygiene materials, which would be supporting them. But also they're not, if they are in some sense that mentally ill, that they're not part of the street, that they feel afraid, they feel threatened, and then they in turn also threaten. Mm-hmm. And I say that because I was talking to someone who was from the West Hollywood city, which is a very friendly city, which has mm-hmm. opened their hands and arms to the homeless population. And they brought, you know, their park and they put their facility, they put shower for them. But it was, I was talking to someone, they said that because some of those people were they needed to be on medication and that they were out there, that when somebody was walking beside them, they would feel threatened, they would be scared. And then because of that fear, they would attack. And so there was a lot of issues. And then they found out other cities were picking the homeless and putting them in the bus and bringing them actually into West Hollywood because they said that this was an open city and a, you know, kind city. So there's a lot going on in the whole system here where, you know, we need to honor our human fellow that they're going through so much. And then they're also, it's like, how do neighborhoods honor themselves? How do they honor their fellow human being? And there, this is really an issue that it seems like it has to happen. And I've had a lot of people on my show talking about it. And like you say, there isn't one type of a solution that has shown up. I've seen different cities trying to come up with low-fee housing. I've seen different cities which they're trying to create these lands as so there could be a tenth land. But at least we're starting to talk about it, and at least we're trying to do something. I think that would be the only positive thing I could say at this point.
Right, right. And, you know, like you said, and it's interesting because I've learned also that because L.A. has gotten a reputation for being so well versed at taking care, in quotations, of the homeless, other cities across the country will actually pay to transport their homeless to Los Angeles, in particular downtown in the Skid Row area. I had a gentleman on that they actually call the mayor of Skid Row, and he lives in that area and is trying to make Skid Row have its own actual council, you know, so they can be a separate council from LA City. And but I didn't know that. I was fascinated that people are so more people are being brought and sort of dumped down on Skid Row. And it's, you know, sadly, it's in a city like Los Angeles, with the amount of wealth that there is, it's slowly becoming this have and the have nots, as so much of the country is, unfortunately. There's such a gap between those who have and the have-nots, and there's the middle section is like slowly going away, and a huge part of that is the astronomical cost of living and the housing, the rents and the price of homes. And you know, I now live in Palm Springs. I used to be part-time LA Palm Springs, and now I decided to move here full-time, and I commute into LA when I have to, and I think it's because I'm not there daily anymore. It just seems like when I do go in now, I don't know if it was always in front of me, but now it just seems like it's magnified times 100.
No, Jasper, it's magnified times 100. It really has done that. I remember when I used to live in Malibu, the pole park, they created a park there, and then they created fire. So then the city came and removed everyone because it just was not sanitary, and it was creating issues for everybody else. So I think that it's, you can see that the moving of one, you know, one group to another group is happening, but it's getting magnified a lot. And then there's also this part which there is no one solution for what we call the population of homeless, because their needs are different. Like, I remember, you know, I used to work in the mental institutions and hospitals. I was the head of, you know, outpatient facility. And then I was part of the inpatient facilities for many, many years. And I remember the days that they just shut down the residentials that were holding and housing many of the mentally ill who really could not take care of themselves, and they needed an institution to take care of them, make sure that they get their you know, their hygiene, make sure that they give them medication and all of that. So all of those got defunded, and this group just went into the street. Now, their needs are so much different than someone who is an addict. And, you know, they lost their jobs and they lost their functionality due to addiction, and they are homeless. They're very different people than the population and their needs of a student or someone who just needs a job. They have skills. They're functional. Mm-hmm. They just lost, you know, in a momentum of time, they lost something, and it's so hard for them to go back. So there's so many solutions to all the variety of the needs that are out there, actually.
Right. And it's just a matter of, like you said, access and who gets. And then there's this whole other dilemma of they want homeless people to have to go to the computer to sign up for a lot of the services that are available. Well, I mean, how many have computers and have access to computers? So just the way it's set up almost against certain people to try to get access to the services is really difficult. And and so my goal is, you know, I figure I will just keep highlighting different aspects. We're going to have John Duran from, you know, the mayor from City of West Hollywood, because you did mention that they are known to have such a John and the city has done such a good job of trying their best to stay on top of the situation in West Hollywood. Of course, it's a very small, you know, much smaller contained area. But even here in Palm Springs and the 15 years that I've had a place here, I mean, I see it totally exploding here as well. And the services are just trying to now just barely starting here. It's really overwhelming. You know, there's that the issue, too, of that whole movement, not in my backyard, where. But, you know, as a homeowner, I see it from all sides. So it's like, you know, you want to provide the proper areas, but then do you want it right where there's a school and if they're on drugs and they're fighting? And it's overwhelming, and I can see it from all angles. So. Yeah.
No, I agree. I agree that people who have spent a lot of money, creating particular communities for themselves, mm-hmm. they also chose those communities and bringing those communities to a set, and they're choosing their neighbors. So right. suddenly, after they've invested so many years of finances and, you know, people and community and doing all those services, then suddenly to have neighbors which, you know, they weren't part of the choice, or that those neighbors are not part of the same group, it becomes right. also devastating for that.
Right.
So, like you say, you know, there is there's a appropriate conversation from all angle. Coming
right.
back to you, Jasper, mm-hmm. I also wanted to ask about your radio and television show and about your new roles that you're playing.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, let's see. So I do, I started 8 years ago with a show, internet TV and radio show called On the Set with Jasper Cole. And that was predominantly all about entertainment, and I would have on just entertainment-related guests. Or if I were working on a project, I would sometimes be there live remotely, and it was an idea to just sort of bring the audience into the actual set and shooting. And then it kind of evolved, and I wanted to move more into other topics. So for the last four years, I do a show called One-on-One with Jasper Cole. And this is actually now simply a taped podcast where I get to just sit down one-on-one with someone face-to-face. And I just take on various issues. I still do entertainment, but I'll have athletes. And I've gotten very political, as as many people have since the 2016 election. And so a lot of the last 4 years, I do cover a lot of politics on my show. I'm one of the few people who think, just because I'm an actor, you know, a lot of people think we don't want to hear from actors. Well, I mean, I'm a citizen and, you know, a voter, and I have a platform, so, you know, I speak out. But yeah, so that's what I do with the podcast. And then I have been fortunate to last season start on the show The Rookie as again, Crackhead Fred. You know, I get to I'm always playing either the drug addict, the drug dealer, but at least with Fred, he has, when we meet him, he's been clean and sober for 30 days. He's gotten his 30-day chip, and he is sort of there to sort of help the police and become sort of a neighborhood informant.
Yeah.
I mean, the irony is Jasper... go ahead.
It seems like, as an actor, and we only have a couple of more,
sure.
I mean, seconds, actually. It seems like, as an actor, you really get to feel, to know the issues, because you got to know them in order to play them well. And that also helps you as the radio and the podcast host to be able
yes.
to really put yourself out there. So thank you so much, Jasper.
Thank you so much.
Everyone, Jasper Cole. Please go to iTunes, Stitcher, all of it, and check out his podcast, a radio television show on the podcast syndicated, One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Where else can they find you, Jasper?
My website is jaspercole.com, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at jaspercolesays, S-A-Y-S.
Wonderful. For everyone
Thank
out
you.
There, create an amazing life for yourself and everyone, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The Inner Voice Show is a dialogue between the host and the listeners about their relationships. This show is not an attempt to assess, diagnose, or treat any mental health or illness.
KMET, Banning, Beaumont, Redlands, and Palm Springs.
ABC's Alex Perez at the picket line outside a GM plant in Detroit.
This is a big strike. There hasn't been a strike, nationwide strike like this one since 2007. 55 plant workers at the picket line. This picket line has been active since about midnight. That was a deadline that the union gave General Motors to come up with some sort of deal. That deadline came and passed, and those workers have been at the picket line since then.